I have the honor of sharing the word with you today. I am really excited, super excited. Jerome is too. So, see, there's sometimes I know when there's people that are on my youth team in the building because they preach back. Yeah, right. I kind of like to have conversations in the midst of my sermon sometimes. You know, it's not about me up here on the pulpit. It's just us learning the word together. Amen. I get the privilege this morning of talking to you and ending our vision series, and we're going to be talking about making a difference today. I love that our church has vision. I love that we're not just saying show up on a Sunday, we're saying, hey, here is some steps to discipleship for you. So we've been through these last weeks. We started with know God, then find freedom, then discover purpose, and today we're going to be doing make a difference. The title of my talk with you today is called The Effect. The Effect. I do want to give a shout out real quick to our speaker that we have at the Coeur d'Alene campus last night and today, Daniel Makoka. Who was here last, or who was at Coeur d'Alene last night? Okay, just a couple of you. So I just want to let you know right now, y'all should go back and listen to it, because that dude is a fire hydrant of anointing. Like, seriously, he knocked it out of the park at our men's breakfast, had a lot of us weeping. It was incredible. And then he knocked it out of the park again last night. He shared on make a difference in a different way than I'll be sharing today. The way that he shared it was about how we can make a difference by supporting others, taking small steps on the journey, and surrendering to the right authority to make an impact and a difference in our church and in our life. If you didn't hear that, I highly encourage you, go check it out. It was a gift to this house. Well, hey, I want to start by telling you a story. You guys like stories? I have two small kids, so I tell stories quite a bit, right? And I love it. I love it, love it, love it. But I want to tell you a story about someone that was really important to me in my life. And his name was Dave. He was my grandfather. Now, my mom and dad, they got divorced when I was about 3 years old. You know, the first memory I have in my life is my dad yelling at my mom and him leaving the house. And my dad was a railroader, so he was out of town quite a bit. You know, he'd have us like every other weekend, and half the time he'd be out on the railroad and I'd just stay with my aunt. So I didn't really get a lot of time with my dad growing up. But I thank the Lord because he placed a grandpa in my life that became so impactful to me. How many of y'all know that people make an effect on us in life? Well, my grandpa Dave, he made an effect on me in my life. See, I grew up in a broken home, so I didn't get to see what healthy marriage is, except for my grandpa. I got to see how he treated my grandma. I got to see what a healthy marriage looked like. And I personally believe that in part to my grandpa and Jesus, that it's the reason I love my wife the way I do today. You know, I got to see through his life the effect of treating your kids well. I believe that that example and what Jesus has showed me is the way I raise my kids today. Because my grandpa made a great effect on my life. Really, I believe a lot of the character that I have today is based upon the things that I saw Grandpa do. My grandpa was a great man, and I miss him dearly. But there was also a negative effect that happened to me in the life of my grandpa, and it was near the end of his life. He was diagnosed with a disease called ALS, if you're familiar with that. ALS is a terrible disease to watch a family member go through because they lose control of their body. And I watched my grandpa quickly come to the point of death. And can I tell you something, church? It affected me so deeply. It's one of the few times in my life that apart from drugs, I really felt like I lost my mind. Because I lost my father figure. I lost this great example in my life. See, people in life make an effect. It can be positive and it can be negative. But the truth is, we all make one. We all make one, positive or negative. So I want to ask you this, church. We all make an effect in life in others, but the question is, what effect are you making? Is it positive or is it negative? Is it for you or is it for God? We all make an effect. What is yours? So So the main passage of scripture that I'm going to be sharing in this morning is in John chapter 15, if you have your Bibles with you. If not, it should be up on the screen. John 15 is one of my favorite verses in the Bible, or chapters in the Bible. I love it so much that I covered my arm in a tattoo of it. That we should be fruitful and we should be rooted in the church. I love this chapter of scripture. Today, let me give you a little context to this. John 15 starts with this beautiful parable about the true vine. He paints this picture of what it looks like to abide in Christ and be fruitful, the ways that he grows us, the ways that he prunes us, the way that he brings correction. But what we're going to do is we're going to skip down to later in that passage. See, where we're going to be reading is where the conclusion of this parable happens, and it starts by him sharing how he helps us grow, and then it ends with the commission for us to do, for what us to do in our life to continue to be fruitful in Christ Jesus. Will you please stand with me for the reading of the word? I love what Seth says. You know, we stand for the word because this is absolute truth. No matter what I say after this, at least you got the word. Starting in verse 11, these things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. Can y'all say joy? Come on. This is my commandment that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servant, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide. So that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you so that you will love one another. Father God, we pray that today as we dive into your word, Lord, that it would go on good soil, that it would produce fruit in our life. So Lord, we give you this time and we thank you for your precious word. In Jesus' name, y'all may be seated. So a lot of times when you're studying for a sermon, you listen to other people that have preached in similar directions or read some great commentary. And I was reading this article this week from a wonderful website that I absolutely am in love with called the Gospel Coalition. And they had this pastor, his name is Daryl Dash. He's a pastor up in Canada, I think. He pastors a church called Grace Fellowship. And instead of me trying to tell you exactly what he said, I'm just going to read exactly what he said. Is that cool? He said it great. I don't need to try to change it. He says this, I've been a pastor for a long time now. One thing I've learned is that one or two people can make a huge difference in a church, both positively and negatively. A man contacted me. He was moving to Toronto, and somebody had recommended the church. Someone had recommended him to the church I pastor. We met for coffee, and he asked questions about our ministry. At the end of our coffee, he told me how much he was looking forward to being a part of the church. He kept his word. He and his wife showed up almost every week. They became the kind of people who are easy to pastor. Ooh, do I love those types of people. They gave, they encouraged, they prayed, they came hungry to hear from Scripture each week. They raised the spiritual temperature of the church. After a couple years, however, they moved. I remember feeling a little discouraged. Almost immediately, two single women started attending the church. They had the same effect. Through their ordinary faithfulness, they set the pace for others in the church. I've seen this over and over. One or two people can positively affect the entire feel of a church and lead others to faithfulness by their example. As a pastor, I can feel the difference when these people are present in the church. Of course, negative people can make a big difference too. Read almost any epistle, and you can see the damage one person can do. One false teacher, one divisive person can do untold damage within the church. A lot of ministry involves preparing a church to protect itself against these types of people. A healthy church culture is an uncomfortable place for these kinds of people. But there's always a danger. and they can easily sabotage your ministry. A lot of us think that our influence is negligible, but never underestimate the power of living as a faithful follower of Jesus in the local church. Do radically ordinary things. Show up every Sunday. Look for someone to encourage. Pray, serve, lean in during the sermon. Not only will you benefit, but others will see your example and begin to take these steps too. Given enough time, as others join you, God might shape the entire direction of the church through your example. I thought that was very powerful, the effect that one or two people can have on the house of God, positively or negatively. Something that really stood out to me in what Daryl said is he said this statement, radically ordinary things. Pray, serve, and lean in. Radically ordinary things. And I love this because to me it's like, it feels radical to you, but it's normal to most. Radically ordinary things. To pray, to serve, to lean in. See, we all make an effect in this church. But to what extent? Could there be more that God has for you in this community? Are you making a difference, or are you just coming to watch others do so? What is your effect on others? Negative or positive? So let's talk about some people that made a great effect on the world, positively and negatively. Let's start with the positive ones first. So the way I kind of went with this is I wanted to think through biblical characters that made a positive or a negative effect on a generation or of all time. Can you guess what the number one most positive effect of one person did in the Bible? Good job. Kids ministry for the win. It's Jesus, the answer that the kids always get right. I'm happy that's the answer that my kid would always get right. Jesus. The greatest effect to ever happen to humanity. Through the effect of one man, humanity gained eternity in relationship with the Father once again. The epoch of our time. God in the flesh, standing in our place and restoring us into relationship. Then we have another character. His name is Abraham. God communicated directly with Abraham and made a covenant with him. That would provide him land, protection, and fruitfulness for him and his descendants. And he indeed became the father of many nations, making him a foundational figure in three monotheistic world religions. That just means they believed in one God in their religion. Those three included Judaism, Islam, and Christianity. Some positive and some negative. The next character, his name is Josiah. I love Josiah. Like, I pray to the Lord often, Lord, give me a Josiah. Maybe I'm secretly just praying for a boy because I have two girls, but Josiah. We need some Josiahs. I mean, I see a lot of Josiahs in kids' ministry and youth ministry that are unwilling to fold to the culture and the narrative of today that are tearing down the altars of false gods, just like Josiah did. You know, out of so many kings in the book of 1 and 2 Kings, we see only a few, including Josiah, that tore down the altars of false gods, that him specifically, he ended up repairing the temple, and at that point, finding the book of the law that had been missing for years. See, Josiah at a young age had the courage to stand out and do what was right in the eyes of the Lord and restore the commandments of the Lord to the people of Israel. He had a great effect on humanity. The next character, his name is Paul. He went from being the Pharisee of Pharisee to a follower of Jesus. He was the first person to go on a missionary journey into the Mediterranean. He planted many churches in Turkey and Greece and wrote many of the letters that are still influential even after his death. Paul's ideas live on in the canon of Scripture, impacting millions of people every day. Can y'all say positive effect? If you've been in church for any point of time, you have probably been affected by the words of Paul. Many people have made a positive effect that have altered generations and altered humanity as we know it. These are just a few. So let's talk about some people that made a negative effect. Can anyone guess the first person that made a negative effect? Ooh, Satan, that's a good one too. Adam and Eve. Last gathering night, a lady that just yelled out, Adam. I was like... Love it. It was Adam. Adam and Eve. This is the worst thing to ever happen to humanity, coming about by the choices of this couple. Sin was brought into the world and man was separated from the presence of God, changing the world as they knew it for thousands and thousands of years. Talk about a negative effect. Still trying to recover. The next person that made a negative effect, his name was Cain. Cain was the son of Adam and the brother of Abel. Out of jealousy, he kills his brother, becoming the first murderer. And Abel becomes the first person to go to heaven, wondering where everybody else is. Thank you, Marty. The next one, I'm going to view as a negative effect. However, I recognize that he made very many positive effects. If you need to email me, it's seth@theheartcda.com. Next negative effect, his name is Moses. He was supposed to lead the people of God out of slavery and into the promised land. However, he didn't listen to God. And as a result, the entire generation ends up dying, including Moses, before the people of God finally stepped foot into the promised land led by Joshua. Can y'all say negative effect? The last man that made a negative effect on a generation, his name was Solomon. Solomon was the son of David, the wisest man to ever live. But in disobedience to God, he married foreign women that led his heart away from the Lord, allowing them to build altars to their gods. We actually see the effects of this play out all the way through the book of 1 and 2 Kings, and honestly, all the way through the history of the Jews. Because from that point of Solomon and his wife's building altars, we have all these kings that either decided to keep them or destroy them, other than our main man Joshua, that tore them all down to the ground. What did I say? Joshua. Close. So let's jump back into the original text from earlier in John 15, but we're just going to read verses 11 through 15 this time. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. See, what Jesus is saying here in this portion of the text is he's calling us to go deeper with people. See, what he does at the beginning of this parable is he shapes this view of a vine. He says, he is the vine, he's the vine dresser, and he prunes and he trims so that we can produce more fruit. And and at the beginning, he's kind of saying, this is what I have for you that I'm going to do for you. But what he's talking about here is he's saying, now this is what I want you to do for others. See, I take care of you while you take care of others. He's calling us to go deeper with people. In these verses, he's calling us to love them, to serve them, even to die for them. One way that we live this commandment out is through serving, making a difference in people's lives. Not just to walk in obedience to Christ, but also to be filled with joy, like he said in verse 11. I love this. When I got sober, I was a drug addict for many, many years. And when I came to know Jesus and got sober, I just became a church rat. Heard that before. You really couldn't get me out of a church building, to the extent that I was at multiple churches. I was serving at a drug rehab program at another church while asking that pastor to give me permission to serve in the leadership of the youth ministry at Heart of the City Church, while also going down to the cause every weekend and working on their host team and holding the sign out in the parking lot. Why did I do this? Because something happened when I got off drugs. See, when I was on drugs, I was doing it because I loved the feeling I got from them. But when I got sober and I found Christ, I learned that God has called us all to serve. And when I started to serve, I started to feel this joy, this overwhelming zeal from the Lord. I started to feel so filled from helping others and seeing the impact that I could make. I think of times when I used to serve in the market and going there and loving on these people when they're in one of the hardest seasons of their life, praying with people, crying with them. And just being so filled when I leave, knowing that God has filled me in my obedience to him. I think of serving at all the churches. Praise God, I'm finally only at one church. You can thank my wife. I was like, I don't know if you fit anywhere else, honey. She was an intern. This was her church. But I remember these days of being so filled serving on teams. And can I tell you something, church? Yes, today I'm trying to encourage you to buy into the vision of this house, to be a part of a team, to make a difference. But what I hope you get by the end of this is that serving on a team is the minimum of making a difference. And there is much, much more than God has for you than just serving on a team. But we'll get to that soon. I love serving. I still love serving to this day. I serve too much, I feel like, sometimes. I'm trying to learn how to say no in this season. Seth's trying to hold me accountable to that. But it's a good thing. It's a good thing to serve in the house of the Lord. It does something to us. It says in that the verse we just read, it says that when we do this, our joy is made full through him. We walk in obedience to what God has for us. It's important that we make a difference. It's part of the fulfillment of our discipleship and walk with Christ. And it makes an effect. Every person in this room makes an effect whether you like it or not. So what does that effect look like? The next passage I'd like to read with you is Hebrews chapter 13. We're going to read verses 1 through 3. It says this: "Let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Remember those who are in prison as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you also are in the body." I ask you this today, church. Is your effect being tested? Could you have possibly entertained angels without knowing? How would you feel if you knew that you had that opportunity and you missed it? Right? But I just believe that the scriptures are saying this because God knows exactly what he has for you to do to make a difference. God knows the positive effect that you can make on this earth. And I think God sometimes sends his angels to check up on how you're doing. So I'd like to share a story with you. I'm full of stories today. Before I was ever on staff at Heart of the City Church, me and one of my old good friends decided one day that we both needed to quit our jobs and go beat the Mormons at what they're doing. So we did that. We went door to door sharing the true gospel. This birthed into a street ministry where we were just pretty much out in Spokane all the time loving on homeless people. You might be like, why not Coeur d'Alene? Well, because we're all in Spokane. So we would go to Spokane a lot, and we'd be loving on the homeless. We're still going door to door in Coeur d'Alene, and we were just reaching people for Jesus. Now, I would say my primary gift, Ben, is I'm an evangelist. Like, I love lost people so, so much. Do I like saved people? Yes, I love you guys so much, but I really, really like lost people. And it's how God's built me, right? Because I was very, very lost at one point. So I'm living on mission. I mean, we gave up everything. I still, to this day, do not know how everything got paid for and how God just provided. Like, I joked with God one time. I'm like, well, God, if you want me to keep going out to Spokane, I guess I need a car. Next day, I got a knock on the door, and someone said, God told him to give me this and gave me a car. So God just kind of, he just kind of provided in this season, right? And I believe he did, not because I had done good works, but because I was working out my faith in the way that he had for me. He was like, oh, you're doing what I created you to do. I'm going to open doors for you to continue to do it. But I had this opportunity, and I've actually had this happen probably about four times, but this is the one I remember the clearest, and this is a part of my story that I believe I met an angel unaware. Me and my friend, a lot of times, we would just be driving around town and just prophetically, like, thinking of where to stop next. This led to wonderful encounters, like one time me barging into Denny's saying, who has a broken knee? And nobody stood up, and we walked out. Now, they weren't all like that. It's some pretty crazy testimonies, man. I don't know if you know this. Sometimes you need to step out, even if it's wrong. Because I've seen people healed quite a bit now. So we would drive around, you know, and one day we're driving, and we're up on Northwest Boulevard, up in Hayden, and we're coming down, and I see this guy, and he seems a little crazy. You might be asking, Logan, how did you know he was crazy? Well, this is how normal people walk down the street. This is how this guy was walking down the street. Maybe it's my evangelistic anointing, or maybe it's just my non-craziness that I can recognize it. And we drive by, and I think nothing of it, but then I get that little prick in my heart. And I'm like, dude, we gotta turn around. We gotta go talk to that guy. So we turn around, and we pull in this parking lot, and then we, like, pull out to kind of, like, cut him off as he's walking down the road. And I roll down my window, and here comes crazy guy. And I'm like, hey, man. And I just felt stirred to share with him. I'm like, hey, you know, I was once a drug addict, and man, my mind was all out of whack, but God's word says, by the renewing of your mind, you know, and I'm sharing the word with him, I'm sharing my testimony with him, he's just still kind of being crazy and saying weird stuff to me, like, I'm like, where are you going, man? He goes, oh, I just got out of my facility, and I'm like, oh, man, you need to go back there. We were a little concerned he had escaped somewhere, because he was out there, and, you know, I don't call my home a facility. You guys are getting a sweeter version of this story, this gathering. So I'm sharing with this guy, and he's kind of out there, and he's kind of moving around, and then I get done, and all of a sudden he just goes, good job. And he walks off normal. And in that moment, I don't know what to do. Neither does my friend that's driving, so we just slowly pull out into traffic. The Lord must have stopped traffic because I don't think either of us was looking either way if cars were coming. And we pull out and we're just kind of like, whoa, what just happened? And then finally we talk about it and we're like, man, I think that was an angel. Now you might be asking, Logan, why would the Lord have to send an angel to test you if you've already laid down your life and you're doing evangelism and reaching lost people every day? Well, I felt like the Lord told me something as we were pulling away that day. I tested you in this to see if you only do this during an event or if this is how you live your life. See, God wants you to be a part of the local church and make a difference here, but you know where else he wants you to make a difference? In all of your life. And maybe, just maybe, he's going to send some tests your way. Maybe, just maybe, one day you'll have a crazy story like me. They're pretty much my favorite stories in my life. I'm like, this is crazy. I am pretty sure this was an angel. It happened once with my best friend, happened once with my wife, happened once on the streets. But God does this. See, we all make an effect, and just maybe God's going to send an angel to test what yours is. Another passage that we're going to read today is Matthew 25, verse 34. You know, he even says in his word that when we make a difference and bring a positive effect to those around us, it's as if we are doing it unto him when we do it unto the least of these. And that's what we're going to read starting in verse 34. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly, I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. See, what I find interesting in this passage is it seems to be that we affect God by affecting others. And I think maybe some of us need a reset in our vision in this, of when we're serving on a team or when we're trying to serve God out in our day-to-day life, to have eyes to see, am I treating this person the way that I would have treated Jesus? If you saw Jesus on the side of the road, hungry and in need, you would instantly stop. So why do we treat other people differently when we are made in his image? When you do it to the least of these, you do it unto me. And God has called us to make a great effect on this world by having eyes like that, to see people as we see our Lord. We affect God by affecting others. So let's go back to our original passage in John. We're going to read verses 16 and 17. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that you will love one another. I find it interesting that it seems to be that Jesus that it was very important to Jesus that we bear fruit. So much so that he says that this is a sign that you abide in him. Or in other words, that you know him. This is a sign that you actually know him, that you bear fruit. Now, we don't do works to earn anything, but for the believer, works should flow naturally out of us. Because when we abide in Christ, we naturally produce fruit. It's almost like this. It's almost like if we keep our focus on God and our steps in his direction, that fruit is automatic. So when a person comes to me and says, oh, I'm doing everything for God, but I don't see fruit in their life, I would say you are not in the path or direction of him, because your fruit should become automatic. In the same way, for a person that maybe feels underqualified, or is like, man, I don't know, I can't be like Logan, I can't be like Mark, I can't be like Seth. But fruit is automatic when we abide in Christ. Do you think I ever thought I'd be on a stage preaching? No, I thought I'd be preaching to a wall on the streets. Out of my mind. That'd be the closest thing I get to preaching. But see, I abide in Christ, I remain in him, and he makes me fruitful. None of myself. He makes us fruitful. And can I tell you something? God, at the very moment that he knit you in your mother's womb, created you with a purpose that you could walk out and make a difference in your life and in everyone else's. Because church, you make an effect whether you like it or not. It is either positive and for the glory of God, or it is negative. Which do you choose? What do you want your effect to be here on earth? So I ask you this. Where do we start? We don't just make a difference serving on a team. We make a difference in our day-to-day life, in the workplace, at the gas station, at the grocery store. Wherever we go, we have the opportunity to make a difference for the kingdom of God. If you're not doing it in your day-to-day life, you're most likely not doing it at church. See, serving on a team is not the end-all answer. It's more like a baby step in the journey to making a difference. When we start to make a difference and a positive effect for the kingdom, It naturally flows out of us in our day-to-day. Can I tell you one thing I hate about working at a church? Is that I no longer have the opportunity to have a 9-to-5. Why? Because from 9 to 5, people couldn't get away from me. It's glorious. It's also why I like my barber. 30 minutes, undivided attention to share the gospel. You know who's coming to Single Moms this year? My barber. After 5 years, you would know that story if you went through Growth Track. Logan loves you. That was last week. But I tell you this, church, what I present to you today is not just some vision and some fancy words that we've come up with. The church has very much thought this out, that to be a people after God's own heart looks like walking these four principles out. Number one, to know God, starting with salvation, but not just ending there. It hurts my heart that so many people come to this church and get saved and never take next steps. When I know that over 400 people came to Jesus last year and I didn't see 400 people get rooted in this house. They stopped at salvation and said, oh, I don't know. I don't need to find freedom. I really like the bondage and the sin that I've been holding on to. I'll keep Jesus, but I'm going to keep everything else too. Other people in this house, they find God and then they find freedom. They're like, I'm not gifted. I don't have a purpose. I'm just like regular old Joe. But God created each and every one of us with a purpose to walk it out. And yeah, Growth Track isn't the end-all answer, but it's a great first step. And then we have this opportunity after we've known God and we've found freedom and we've discovered purpose, that we take that and we bundle it together and we get shot out of this house to make a difference. But church, it starts with making a difference here. Like I said earlier, if you're not making a difference here and an impact here, I bet you're not doing it in your workplace. Serving on a team should be the minimum that we should excel to exceed. So I want to share an analogy with you. Some of you might know this, but I really like plants. I really, really like plants. I'm kind of struggling with the plants in my office right now. Some of them are dying. I don't know if they're just dying or if it's prophetic. I'm trying to figure it out. It's really sad. Can't seem to keep a fern alive. Sucks. I also have a lot of plants at my house. If you've ever been to my house, it's kind of like a rainforest in the corner of our living room. To the extent when the people sold us the house, they left us some of their plants because they knew we liked plants. And it's like, I'm pretty sure that's one of the reasons my wife wanted me to buy the house. She's like, look at all the plants. Who cares about the house that surrounds them? I like plants. And I think plants serve the purpose of a really great analogy, and I'd like to share that with you. Let's look at this first picture. No, that's not coffee. This first picture shows a flower pot, and it just has dirt in it. And I think this represents some of the people in this room here today. Maybe after hearing all this, you're like, Logan, I know God. Seeds have been planted in the dirt of my faith, but I just don't know where to go next. Can I tell you, today in this message is the water that waters that seed and starts to produce some fruit in your life. So it's okay if this is what you are, that you're just a pot with dirt with a seed and you haven't produced nothing yet. Can I tell you something, church? You are in the right house to grow. This is fertile soil. And if you buy in, you will be fruitful. Money back guarantee. Let's look at this next picture. Wow. It's my favorite plant. It's called the golden pothos. It's my favorite plant because they're very hard to kill. Isn't that a beautiful plant? Can I tell you something that you might not be able to see from your seat? It's actually just a drawing. Now, why would I show that? Because I think there's a lot of people here that maybe look like everything's good, but really they're just a fake plant not producing fruit. Can I tell you something about fake plants? Fake plants don't have roots. they can be plucked out immediately. And it might look pretty on the outside, but I promise you it isn't on the inside. And God's not just looking at what everyone else sees. God's looking in the dirt. And he might say to you, son, daughter, I never knew you. There's no roots. God's called us all to dig deep roots in the house of God. Now, if this is you, there's no shame. This message is not to condemn. It's to call up and to spur on. Because we can rip that fake plant out and plant good seeds in good soil today, in this moment. Let's look at another one. Ooh. Looks kind of like one of mine. Bless you. You know, some of us, our plant looks more like it's dying a little bit. And I think about it this way, like maybe you've already been trying to make an effect and make a difference. And you're like, Logan, I've been serving on teams. I'm trying. And you're like gritting your teeth, trying to figure it out. But your plant's still dying. Well, maybe today you need to refocus and realize why you're trying to make a difference and who you're trying to make it for. Because it says in the scriptures that when we abide in him and we walk this out in our life, that his joy is made full in us. So today you have an opportunity to start over. And I love that in that chapter that we talked about in John 15, he tells us what he does to take care of us as plants. And maybe today Jesus comes to you and says, son, daughter, if you could just surrender and restart this process of making a difference, don't worry, I am gentle and I am kind. And I will cut every dead branch away. And you will once again be fruitful and multiply. Let's look at that next picture. Oh, it's glorious. Any other plant lovers in the house? Isn't that a glorious pathos? Wow. It's amazing, isn't it, Kate? It's a glorious plant. That is not a drawing. That is a real plant. I'm about 95% sure. Okay. It was for sale online. I didn't even know you could buy them online like that. I love this. Because the same way that I'm admiring this plant right now is the same way that God admires you when you're making a difference. Oh, son, daughter, that's exactly what I made you to look like. That's exactly what I made you to do. Son, daughter, I never made you to just be a pot of dirt. Son, daughter, I never made you to just be a fake plastic plant. I never made you to be damaged or dying. I made you to thrive. It is not just for me, it is for you. That when you make a difference and you make a positive effect, it fills you and it fixes others. We all cast a shadow. But this is what God has called us to cast. A beautiful, thriving, luscious plant. One that abides in Christ, is filled with his joy continually, is making a difference not only on a team inside a local church, but making a difference in their workplace, at the grocery store, at the gas station, walking down the street, wherever you are in your day-to-day life, you have an opportunity to make an effect for the kingdom of God. But it takes us all. And God has this for each and every one of us. See, we all make an effect in our life and in others. The question is, what effect are you making? Is it positive or is it negative? Is it for you or is it for God? We all make an effect. What will yours be? I really like statistics. Who else likes statistics? Ooh, that's a lot more than the last gathering. It's wonderful. Hello, fellow admins. I like statistics, especially when they're about people, because people count. And I want to share a statistic that I did some research on, aka texted back and forth with Seth, the holder of statistics. Under 500 people in our church currently serve on a team. Out of roughly 1,700 people, regularly attending weekend gatherings, which means 30% of the church is doing all of the work, while 70% are just warming seats. Let that sink in. 30% is doing all the work, while 70% are just warming seats. What do you think the effect would be if we flip that ratio upside down? Can I tell you what would happen, church? This city would have already been reached for Jesus. It would have already been won for Christ. Heck, the nation, the world. Because see, God has called more than a third of his people to walk out their God-given purpose. God has called each and every person to make a difference. I think that's why he said, hey, I'm not coming back till you all figure it out. He's called us to walk out what he has for us. And I believe that if we can flip this ratio over, we're not only going to grow God's church community, but we are going to grow God's kingdom in this city. Christian businesses, Christian employers, Christian employees, sharing the gospel, reaching people for the Lord. I promise you, church, it is so possible. But I believe that it really does start with you making a difference here. And that serving on a team can be the foundation to something great of making a difference in this community. Equip and go. And we can win this city for Jesus. So I ask you this in closing. What plant are you? Be real with yourself. Are you a pot with just dirt and a seed waiting to sprout? You've been living a fake plastic life, hiding behind your fake plant of health. Has this been a season where you just feel burnt out and you just feel more like you relate with that dying plant? Or maybe you're 30% of the house that's thriving. I think God would invite each of you to consider that he has a life of thriving for each and every one of us. And he does not hold that for just 30% of the community. I believe that he's called each and every one of us to be a people after his heart, to know him, to be free of sin, to discover who we are, and to walk that out.